this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. We're just going to read a few verses of Scripture there, and then we'll turn over to James, which will be our text, where we're going to take our text passage from. Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll just read a few verses there in a minute. But just to introduce the message this morning, just thinking about, you know, can you ever remember a time when there was so much turmoil in the world today? I'll tell you, it just seems like every time you turn on the news, it's bad and it's getting worse. And you think to yourself, Lord, what is it that you're trying to do? Lord, what is going on? Well, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't have a clue. I don't think anybody else does either. But I do believe this. I believe that when things are going like they're going, that if for no other reason, the Lord is trying to get our attention. Would you agree with that? The Lord is trying to tell us. He's trying to say, listen, it's time to wake up here. You need to get your attention off of the world and put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, the only hope we have is Jesus. And we've got to look to Him during this time. We've got to try to put Him first in our life. And you know, no matter what comes, we can't predict, we can't change, and we can't do anything about the way the world's going. But I tell you what we can do. We can focus on the Lord, and we can do something about the way we react to how the world is reacting. And I think the Lord is, if for no other reason, is wanting us to turn to Him and wanting us to, He wants us to put Him first. And I tell you, He wants us to live like Christians. He wants us to live, and I believe He wants us to be like a lighthouse on the hill so all can see and all can be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, it's just unusual times these days. And the message this morning really is talking about, and we're, like I said, over in the book of James is where we'll turn in a minute, but how to pray for wisdom during trials. You know, folks, listen, I tell you, we're just going through difficult times now. And I tell you, we need God's help. We need God's wisdom to figure out, to see what He's trying to do in our life, what He wants to do in our life. And listen, I believe God wants to do something great in our life during these days. And I think God is doing something great, but I'm gonna tell you, if we don't turn to Him and let Him have control, folks, listen, this time will pass right on through here, and we won't get out of it what God wants us to get out of it. All right? Well, let's just start with let's just open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll start reading and looking at some verses of Scripture. All right? Now, Lord, as we come before You here today, Lord, we sure are grateful and thankful for Your many blessings. I pray, Lord, You'd use the message today to speak to our hearts. And Lord, You'd help us, Lord, from the Word of God, that we might see something here. Lord, we might hear something. Lord, You might do something in our life, in our hearts this morning, Lord, that would help us, Lord, to be closer to You, Lord, to be centered in on You. And I just pray that You'd bless. Lord, speak to every heart here this morning. We sure are going to thank You for what You do now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the New Testament, if you can't read through the book, through the New Testament books and not see the persecution that came upon the early church Christians as they were turning from Judaism to the Lord Jesus Christ. When that happened, you know, it was like the whole world literally just turned against them, and they started persecuting Christians. And I mean, there's several books in the Bible. Hebrews is like that, and the book of James is like that. And we're going to see some things there in a minute. But a lot of the Bible, a lot of the Scripture here, is dealing with Christians that are being persecuted. And by the way, it is just natural when we are being persecuted or Christians are being persecuted, it's just natural to wonder, Lord, what are You trying to do here? Lord, what are You doing in my life here? Lord, why? Is it because I've got sin in my life that I'm being persecuted, or Lord, just what's going on here? I don't understand, Lord. It's hard for me to understand and see what's taking place here. And so the Bible, like I said, a lot of the Bible is written to encourage us, to tell us, listen, this is not something unusual. This is something that's happened before. Matter of fact, let me just read you a verse of scripture over in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. Look, this is what he says. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And I'll just put this in my own words. The Lord is saying, listen, it's not a strange thing for fiery trials to come into your life, to my life. It's not anything unusual here. Don't think that it is. And folks, listen, he's telling us, listen, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through testing because the Lord has a purpose in mind. The Lord has something he's trying to accomplish in our life here. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 here, is talking about, and really as you're building up to Hebrews 11 there, he is writing, the book of Hebrews is written to people that are going through severe persecution. And he, as you go through the book of Hebrews, if you remember, Pastor, it hadn't been too long ago that we went through that, you know, he just kept saying this over and over. As you go through here, he is building a case that everything, anything that you are used to, the Old Testament system of worship, the priests, the sacrifices, all those things, he's saying, listen, Jesus is better than all of those things. Don't. You see, there was a temptation for them to turn back and say, well, you know, this ain't working out for us. I'm going back to the old way. And he's telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep on going. Be faithful. Don't give up on God. Be faithful. Listen, God's trying to do something in your life. Jesus is better than all those things. Would y'all agree with that? Hey, listen, Jesus is the best thing that we got. There's nothing better than. And I'm going to tell you, if you got Jesus, that's all you need. And I mean, none of these other things matter. And so he's telling them, say, listen, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on going. Remember when you first started. Remember how the zeal that you had to serve the Lord, you wouldn't think about turning back on him. He says, don't do it now. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Keep on going for the Lord. Keep on going. And then we come to Hebrews 11. And, you know, like I said, he's building a case here. And now he's going to present his final argument. And he says, now listen, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a list of some people, a list of people here that have suffered for the faith, but they just kept right on going. Hebrews 11 is one of the great, if you ever get discouraged, if you ever think that you're going through bad times and hard times, read Hebrews 11 and see what these folks were going through. And he starts off with Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Though through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he goes on through here, and we know this list, and we could just read these names out, and boy, there's just a great host of folks, and we, most of us would be familiar with these great things that these folks done. And what he was saying here, listen, by faith, look at what these people did. Man, they were able to accomplish great things. By the way, folks, listen, these were just everyday normal people. They didn't have the Spirit of God living within them. They didn't even have a complete Bible. They just had portions of Scripture. They didn't know anything is anywhere close to what we know about God and His faithfulness here. But he just lists a great host of people and all the great things that they did, they were able to accomplish by faith. Now, folks, can I tell you, these folks did things, great things for God, and they were not able to see how it was going to turn out. They didn't know. You see, they were walking by faith. They were living by faith. They didn't know how things were going to turn out. But listen, they just believed God. They took God at His word and they said, you know what? I'm going to live for God no matter what. Folks, that's where we're at today. We need to understand. We need to see that God's got something great for us. And no matter how it turns out, listen, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know this, that God will be with us throughout all of it. And God will be faithful. God will never let us down. And so he goes through there. Now, I want you to look over verse 32. And here to me, I think this is one of the most exciting passages in all the Bible. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For time will tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, David also, Samuel and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received the dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others of trials, of cruel mocking, scourgings, moreover bonds and imprisonments. So you see what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, I mean, these folks did great things. They lived by faith. They looked to God, and they just kept on going. They kept on serving Him no matter what. And then, you know, really, when you get to verse 36, they were talking about things and people that maybe we'd read about and we knew about. We read about them in the Scriptures. But then verse 36, it kind of turns. And it says, others, not even mentioned, people we will never know. Others had trial of cruel mocking, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds, imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Folks, listen. There's people, like I said, we'll never know anything about them. We'll never read about them, hear about them until we get to heaven. But folks, there were people that we read about, and they did, by faith, they just went on and they did great things for God. By faith. Folks, we don't know how things are going to turn out. But here's what I'm saying. These folks didn't know how anything was going to turn out, but they just kept on going. They kept on going for God. They kept on serving Him. And the book of Hebrews, one of the reasons it was written, so we could read it and we could be encouraged by, listen, if these folks were able to go through this, surely we will be able to go through the trials and tribulations that we go through. Folks, listen, I don't know anybody. Now, I know there are. I know there's people that's going through great things, great trials. But we've never had to do that. We've never faced anything like this. And folks, listen, these folks lost their life, but they remained faithful to God. And folks, that's all we're talking about this morning. Just keeping on for God. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose sight of what God is trying to do here, all right? Now, turn over to the book of James. Turn over to the book of James, just a couple pages to the right. And let's read here how to pray for wisdom in trials. Folks, we need wisdom. We need to understand. We need help. God wants to help us. And He says, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me. Ask. And so let's look at this morning. Let's look at some things here that's going to help us. That's going to help us to understand what God's trying to do in our life. Now, the book of James, again, the book of James, it was one of the most difficult times in Bible times, one of the most difficult times for these folks here were going through severe persecution. Many of them had lost their life. Most of them had lost everything they had. They turned their back on the Old Testament system of worship, you know, Judaism, and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they did that, boy, I tell you, their world changed. Their life changed. And so he is writing this book here to help them, to see and to help them to get through what's taking place here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And the reason they were scattered is because of severe persecution. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. All right? And so here we see this passage of Scripture here, and it has everything to do with trials and difficulties that these folks are going through. All right? So let's look at some things here, and then we'll go in here and see what God says specifically about asking for wisdom during trials. All right? The first thing I want you to look at here and I want you to see is the word temptation. Now, the picture here of this temptation is not a solicitation. We understand that, but it just seems like sometimes when we hear the word temptation, we automatically think about a solicitation to sin or solicitation to do something wrong. That's not the idea here. This trial, this test, is a test to prove or to see how much you can bear, or how much you're able to bear up under here. All right? And so he's talking about here, he has the idea of being, that is being directed toward an end. In other words, it's trying to accomplish something and has the idea of trying to discover the nature or quality of the object being tested. Now, I didn't know this, but it's amazing that, you know, how much you can learn. I see Brother Jimmy out here, and I should have talked to Brother Jimmy. He is an expert in concrete. Would that be true, Brother Jimmy? No, not an expert. He'd throw me right under the bus right there. But anyway, I've read about, and I've talked to people that told me that I found this out even to be true with asphalt or anything like that. But they would take concrete. They take concrete after it's you pour it and you're testing it, let it harden up and do all those things there. And they take that and they put it under pressure and they want to see how much pressure they can put on that before it starts to crumble and before it starts to break up and all those kind of things. And you know, they've got, and I don't know how all that works, but there's different strengths of concrete. You know, in other words, you can put more pressure on it, and it'll hold up under this pressure here. Well, that's the idea. That's the idea that he's talking about here. These temptations are to test us or to see how much pressure that we're able to hold up under. Now, by the way, it's not for God's pleasure that he's putting pressure on us and seeing how much pressure we can hold up under. It's not that at all. It is really for our benefit. So we can see, and we will be able to know. Whatever God puts on me, he's already told us, I'm not going to put more on you than you're what? Able to bear. Yeah, I'm not going to put more pressure on you. In other words, I'm not going to keep squeezing you until you just explode. I'm not going to do that. God says, I know what you can take. But you don't know what you can take. I don't know what I can take. And so God allows us to be put under pressure, these temptations, these trials, so we'll be able to find out and figure out, listen, I can trust. Listen, I didn't think I could bear up under this, but listen, God is faithful, and I believe I can trust him, and I believe what he told me, that he's not going to put more on me. And you know what? You're able to bear up under these trials, these temptations, without wavering, without doubting, without turning our back on the Lord. And that's the idea behind it. There's an outcome that he's looking for here. Now listen. In the book of James, he is trying to, in this book of James here, trying to show us or tell us that our faith before man can't be seen by man unless they can see our good works. All right? Now, God knows. God knows. He can see our heart. God knows. He knows exactly. But you know what? The world cannot see our faith. He cannot see our heart. They don't know what we're like. All right? So hold your place there. I want you to look at a verse of Scripture. Look over in chapter number 2 and in verse 14 here. You see, the book of James is really, you could say it like this. What is the state? There's a state that has on their license plate, or used to have on their license plate, the show me state. Well, what is it? I can't hear what you're saying, but I agree with you. Whatever you're saying, I believe you, all right? So James is that book. James is the show me book of the Bible. All right, here's what he says, verse 14. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? All right. So here he's saying, how in the world can the world, the lost world, see my faith? If I go up and I say, listen, I have faith, what are they going to say? I don't know that. I can't see that. They might even say, well, show me. Show me your faith. All right. So that's what James, the book of James, is dealing with that, all right? So he goes on, he gives an explanation here. For brother or sister be naked, destitute, daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now he's not saying faith is dead, he's not saying that at all. But he's just saying, listen, if you've got faith, the only way the world can see it is by your works, by what they can see. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to take your word for it. They want to see what you're going to do, how faith is going to live out, how your faith is going to live out in works. All right. So he goes on. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. James says, I'll show thee my faith by my works. All right? So he's telling them, he's saying, listen, the only way the world is going to be able to tell that there's anything different in us is how we live our life. Hey, the works that we do. Now, we know, we understand. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know, we understand that works does not save us. But once we get saved, there has to be a difference in our life. There has to be some works. There has to be some things different in our life because the world is looking for a difference. The world wants to know that there's a difference. And by the way, if there is no difference, why even get saved? Why get saved? All right? So there's a difference in our life. There's works that are different. We do things differently. All right? So James, like I said, James is telling them, listen, you folks are going through trials. You folks are going through all these tribulations, all these things that's going on in your life. Guess what? If you quit on God, you're not going to convince anybody. You're not demonstrating to anybody that Jesus Christ is really who He says He is. Folks, let me just tell you, the world is watching us. They're looking at us. You claim to be a Christian. They're saying, okay, so what? So what's the big deal? I tell you, it is so discouraging. It is so discouraging sometimes. I talk to people, you talk to people, people that claim to be Christians, people that claim, and really I think most people say, what they're really saying is, I'm just religious. I'm not a Christian, I'm just religious. Because if you're around them long enough, you know what people will do? People that claim to be Christians, they're just like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. They hang around the world. And they do the same things the world does. I'm just going to tell you. It's hard for me to comprehend. It's hard for me to understand. Now, I don't know anybody's heart, so I mean, I don't know. But it's hard for me to understand how a man that says, I'm a Christian, and they live any old way they want to. Live the same way as the world. You can't tell any difference than the world. I just have a hard time with that. I struggle with that. Folks, listen. When we get saved, God makes a difference in our life. And in these trials right here, he's saying, listen, the world is watching. The world wants to see how you perform under pressure. What are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to? How do you cope with pressure? And you guess what? If you drink drugs and do all the same thing the world does, they're not going to have a lot of confidence in what you have to say about how the Lord's going to change your life and how the Lord can take care of you during these times and these things that's going on. And I believe that's what James is trying to tell us here. Listen, the world is watching. They're wanting to see how you live your life. They want to see how you do under pressure here. And so this word temptation is a test. It is pressure applied to see how much you're going to be able to handle under this pressure. The second thing I want you to see is the word count. Now the word count is a monetary word. It means to consider or call for a mental evaluation. Consider this in light of what God is trying to accomplish in your life. He said, listen, when this happens, when these temptations happen, consider, try to understand, try to think about what is God doing in my life here. God's trying to accomplish something. God's trying to do something here. What is it? Lord, what are you doing in my life? And then I want you to look at another word, and that's the word joy. The word joy here, recognize the trial not as a happy experience in itself, but as a means of producing something valuable in life. You see, as you were reading through there, did you see what he said here? He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, don't raise your hand. I'll raise both mine for y'all, one for me, one for y'all. How many of us think it's joyful, or how many of us get excited about when we're getting ready to go through a big trial here, a heavy trial, heavy testing, and we think, man, I can't wait for this. This is going to be good. But the Lord says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Do you know Christ endured the cross, the Bible tells us, because of the joy that was set before him? He wasn't saying, hey, I'm looking forward to this trial. I'm excited about this trial. This is going to be good. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, you know, I'm looking beyond the trial. I'm looking to what is going to happen at the end of the trial. When it's all said and done, it's over with. The Bible says that the Lord was looking for that joy that was going to be the result of this trial that he was going to go through. And that's what he's talking about. He tells us, listen, you don't have to be joyful for the trial, but listen, remember and think about when it's over with, look at what's going to be produced. Look at what's going to happen in your life. 1 Peter says this, that the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's it's hard for us to understand. It's hard to comprehend that. It's hard to wrap your arms around that. But, folks, listen, trials are not coming in our life so that God can get back at us. Trials are not coming in our life so God can see how mean he can be to us. Trials are happening in our life so that God might produce something in us. God's doing something for us during these trials. And boy, I tell you, we're going to have a different attitude about this. Have a different spirit about trials as they come in our life because, folks, listen, they're for our good. They're going to help us. They're going to help us to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Listen, it's that refining process that he's getting out all these impurities. Listen, if you stayed the same as you were when you got saved, you're just not going to be very much use to the Lord. The Lord works in your life. The Lord does something in your life so that He might use you in a greater way. Folks, listen, God is trying to do something great in our life. And we just need to, understand it. We need to get in on that. All right? And so here He says, verse number 5 is really our text verse. So how do you pray? How do you find out? How do you figure all this out? Well, He tells us here in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. First thing that I see in that passage right there is that we must admit our need. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, again, you know, don't raise your hand. But if we were to go around the room and we were to say, hey, does anybody in here need wisdom? My goodness. Well, every one of us ought to be standing up, standing on top of the chair, you know, shouting, hollering, yeah, me, it's me. I sure do need it. Lord, I need help. I need wisdom. And he's just throwing it. I think he's saying it in this way just to let us know that, listen, he's not going to force this on us. If you admit, if you realize that you need wisdom, all you got to do is ask. That's what he's saying. If you realize it, it's kind of like the lost man. A lost man will never get saved until he realizes he's lost. He's got to see himself lost and in need of help. Folks, listen. We've got to see ourselves without wisdom and ask God to help us. Folks, God wants to give us wisdom. If any of you will admit that you don't have wisdom and ask for it, God says, I'll give it. You know, there's all kinds of words for prayer in the Bible, but here he's saying this asking of God is praying, talking to God, asking. You're desiring, you're craving for, you are pleading with, Lord, please give me wisdom. Ask for wisdom so we'll not waste the opportunities God has given us to master. You know, folks, listen. God's trying to do something great in our life. Then, I want you to see the second thing, and that is acknowledge your source. You say, he doesn't say, if any of you lack wisdom, go read a good book on wisdom. Talk to your neighbor. You know, talk to some professor, somebody that's really educated. If any of you lack wisdom, you know, he said, listen, there's only one source of wisdom in the world, and that's God. Folks, listen, if we need wisdom, we got to go to God to ask for it. God is the one that giveth wisdom. You know, true wisdom is to be found in God alone. God is the only one that has wisdom. Look at chapter 1, verse 17 there. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But every good gift, every precious gift is from above. God, listen, God will give wisdom if we ask for it. God, you know, God is not impartial. A lot of times when our children get together, we get together with our children. It almost always, and even yesterday, we wasn't with all of our children. We were just with one of them. But the conversation almost always turns to who's the favorite. All right. So we had four children, and they all have a different opinion on who the favorite is. Right. Oh, he was the favorite. Look at all you did. No, she was the favorite. Look at all you did for them. And, boy, you never did that for me. You made me do this. You made me. You know, children are like that. And, of course, as parents, we're sitting there thinking, none of that's true. You know, wait. You just wait till you get children, and you'll see that, you know, you love them all the same, but there's, you know, sometimes you do different things with different ones and that kind of thing. Doesn't mean you're impartial, doesn't mean that you love one over the other, nothing like that. It just means that you react and treat people different and, you know, you know, just the way it is. That's just the way it is. But listen, God is not impartial to His children. He treats them all the same. Listen, if there's ever been a perfect father, it's God. God's a perfect father. He never treats one or shows partiality to one over the other. Not only that, but God is liberal in His giving. Now, I like that. I'm thankful for that. God is liberal in His giving. Does anybody here remember a name or think of a name of anybody in the Bible that asked for wisdom? Well, there was, you know, there might have been more, but one just comes to my mind. Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he? And I don't know that we find anybody else in the Bible that asked for wisdom. They may have, but, you know, I don't know of any. But God told him, He said, now, Solomon, you know, they'd prayed and they had a big day that day at the temple. And I mean, God had just blessed them in unusual ways. And I mean, man, it was just a great day. And God was talking to Solomon, and He said, Solomon, you can ask anything that you want. Anything, whatever it is. God says, I'll hear your prayer and I'll answer it. And Solomon said, Lord, you know what I really need? I need more than anything else, more than anything I can think of. Lord, can I just tell you, there's one thing I know of that I need, wisdom. I need your help. I'm getting ready to be the king. I'm getting ready to have to try to rule these people, to judge them, to know how to take care of them. And he said, God, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I need help. I need wisdom. And God says, you know what? I like that. Boy, I like that attitude. I like that spirit. And God says, because of what you've asked for, you could have asked for riches. You could have asked for peace in the land. You could have asked for your enemy. I mean, to defeat the enemy. You could have asked for all kinds of things. But you, Solomon, chose wisdom. And God says, I'm pleased with that. And because you asked for wisdom, God says, I'm going to give you all these other things. God gave him more than what he asked for. More. He asked for wisdom. God says, well, listen, I got more than that. I give you more. I'm giving you more. And boy, I tell you, I sure am thankful. I'm thankful that we serve a God that's liberal, that will give us more than what we even ask for. By the way, do you know he's done that ever since you got saved? Ever since you trusted him as Savior, God has always given us more than what we've asked for. And then, you know, God, he never scolds us for coming. I don't know about you, but I have prayed this prayer more than one time. Lord, I sure do need your help. Lord, I sure do need wisdom. I tell you, if there's anything, Lord, I need, if there's anything I realize that I am lacking in, God, it's wisdom. I sure do need wisdom. I'm thankful that I can go to God anytime and never have to worry about asking Him for wisdom and Him turn around and say, well, you know what? I'm about tired of you coming to me asking me about that all the time. Let's just put that behind us. Forget that. I don't want you to bring that up anymore. He don't do that. God never scolds us for that. And then the last thing I want you to see is that we're to ask in faith. And He says, let him ask in faith. Listen, if any of you lack wisdom, go down to verse 6. He says, let him ask in faith. Folks, listen. If we're going to ask for wisdom, we've got to believe that God's going to hear that prayer and He's going to answer it. And that God's going to give us the wisdom that we need. Can any of you ever remember praying and asking God for help or asking God for wisdom or asking God to help you in a situation? And when you got there, you was nervous about it. You was a little bit fearful about it. And when it was all said and done, you look back on it and you think, wow, that really turned out good. Man, that turned out way better than I ever dreamed that was going to turn out. Well, how do you think that happened? How do you think that happened? I would suspect that God had His hand in that. God did something. And God turned that thing around because it could have been way worse than what it was, but yet it turned out to be something good because listen, you ask God for help, you ask God to intervene, you ask God to do something there because you didn't know what to do, and God heard that prayer and He answered it, And folks, listen, that I just believe that's what God is wanting to do in our life. I think about Peter out on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come out." God said, "Come on. Come on." So he did. He was full of faith, wasn't he? He stepped out. I mean, it was the worst storm that you could imagine. And he stepped out of the boat into the water that was about to sink the boat that he was in. And he walked on water. But you know what? He asked in faith, but you know what? He started doubting right after that. He started doubting. When he did, he started sinking. But you know what? By faith, he said, "Lord, save me. Lord, you got to help me." And of course, the Lord did. But you know, folks, listen. God, I believe God wants to do something great during these times, during these days in which we live right now. I tell you, troubled times, uncertain times. But I believe God wants to do something great. I believe God wants to do something great in our church. But he's going to start with the individual. I believe he starts with the individual. He does it through the individual. And folks, listen, let God work in your life. Let God do something great in your life during these days. Let's keep our eyes on him. Let's keep focused on him and ask him, "Lord, what are you doing in my life here? What are you trying to accomplish? Lord, I sure do need your help. And Lord, you show me what's going on, and I'm gonna follow you through this no matter what happens. Lord, I'm just gonna trust you to take care of me during this time." All right. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's ask the Lord just to speak to our hearts here in a moment. Maybe you need to ask for wisdom. Maybe you're going through a trial or tribulation, and you just need God to help you with it. God to take care of the situation that you're going through.